What's going on, everybody? This is Jerry, and welcome to the Bank Job NBA Show. Welcome, everybody, to the first podcast in the 2017-18 basketball season. I am your host, Jerry, and with me today, special guest and probably going to be, the co-host of the show and stuff. We got Chris with us. What's going on, Chris?
Not much. It's good to hear that I'm going to be co-host. That's news to me, but
yeah, sounds good, man.
I'm
just throwing you in the mix. Yeah, I feel like we got a good thing going on.
Absolutely. I love talking about basketball.
Yeah, definitely, man. And speaking of some basketball, you know why we're here. We had some news breaking earlier today. Another Woj bomb dropped. Earl Watson of the Phoenix Suns being fired after a solid three-game stretch. What do you think of that?
Yeah, man. Earl Watson fired from the Suns. I honestly thought he was playing for the Suns, not coaching the Suns. But That would explain quite a bit. I don't know too much about Earl Watson's coaching, but when you got young guys like that, man, I mean, Devin Booker's going to be a star. What is he, 22, 23?
Yeah, something like that.
So he's got time to grow, but, dude, they got a solid team right there, and he couldn't put anything with 0-3 start. It's the beginning of the season.
0-3 start, and they lost by 50-plus in two out of those three games.
So, and who are they playing to? They played the Clippers
and the Lakers. I think.
Ugh.
Yeah.
They didn't get blown up.
I think they did, actually.
They didn't get blown up.
Yeah.
That's brutal,
it's just
man.
Absolutely, like, so sad. Let me just verify that real quick before I say that.
Yeah.
And then it ends up not being them.
It took Lonzo Ball playing the Suns to have a breakout game, I mean.
Yeah. I really think that it is. Like, no joke. Because he went for, like, 29 points or something the other day. Let's see. Scores for the Kings. Their schedule. Yeah. A loss to the Utah Jazz. Oh, wait, no. Sorry. That's preseason. My bad. So, regular season. A loss starting with the Portland Trail Blazers, which they lost by 48 points, something.
Yeah, that
like
was
that.
Like the worst opening yeah. day start out. Oh, my God.
Secondary loss by only 2 points. That one to the Lakers. And then they lost again to the Clippers. That one by 52 points. Absolutely.
They lost to a Chris Paulus Clippers by 52.
Yep. Led by a broken Blake Griffin and Pat Bev. He just locks them down.
It's crazy, man. They got a young team too. They probably be the youngest. I don't know if they are technically the youngest team in the NBA. But they probably would be at the absolute youngest starting lineup if it weren't for Tyson Chandler. He's like 82.
Yeah, right?
Now. Which is funny because last year he was only 62, so I don't know how he aged so much. But
definitely. But he's got that beard still, so it makes him look a little bit more youthful, you know? You got that smug look to him.
But yeah, makes him look youthful, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, something like that. But yeah, so now Earl Watson out. They like barely have a replacement coach. I think they're just using one of the assistant coaches in the interim. I have no idea, like, who they could get to really help these young guys out. I feel like they'd need, like, a veteran coach. Bring in somebody like a Larry Brown or something at a straight retirement, like, literally the nursing home he's probably at, and and have him come back and really show these kids what they're supposed to do.
You know, this might be a good time to bring in the first female NBA head coach ever.
That, might be you could really throw anything at Phoenix and see what sticks.
Right.
Like, literally anything. You could also have, like, an eighth grader try and coach them.
At this point,
it's not going to hurt at all.
At this point, they're underperforming, I believe. I mean, they have a solid team, too.
Oh, definitely.
They really do. And a young team. So anyone you put in there, as long as they're better than Earl Watson, which it can't be that hard to do.
Definitely. I think that they can do just fine.
Just teach them how to play some defense. They'll be fine.
Yeah, that's it. Because offensively, they're performing. They're still averaging, I think, 106 points a game. So it's not like they can't put numbers up there, but they just can't stop anybody else. So it's a real struggle for them right now. But hopefully they are able to put something together.
Maybe, that being said, though, I shouldn't judge them too bad defensively. It's hard to tell, like, what a good defensive team is, because if you don't score 100 points in the league, you're trash. Yeah. And they used to be, and it never was like that. Like, 10 years ago, it's like, if you scored 100 points a game, it's like, you're a pretty good offensive team. Now you got to average, like, 120.
Yeah. Yep. That's so true. It's ridiculous. But hopefully they can recover from where they're at right now. But, I mean, it's only 3 games into the season, and like we said, they're the youngest team in the league, so whatever's going to happen is going to happen, and I hope it just works out, you know? I hope that by the time they get good, their players start leaving, you know? Because that would suck for them, and they'd be in this rebuilding process forever.
Right. I mean, yeah, it's only 1 week in. Golden State already has 2 losses, right?
That's true.
OKC already has 2 losses.
Yeah.
I just saw they just lost on the last second shot to the Timberwolves.
I was actually watching that game live, and I was dumbfounded because, I mean, theoretically, they should be able to just put numbers up every single night, but they could not put it together. I think that Russell got held to 6 points last night, and then today, like, everybody played well today. I don't know what PG's numbers were, but Melo wasn't doing too bad, and then definitely Russell was fine. And then that last-second shot that Carmelo hit, going in, that's fine. You had another clutch shot by Russell Westbrook about 30 seconds earlier, and then they all forgot to play defense with the last 5 seconds to go, and it was just Andrew Wiggins, who is, like, I have him on my fantasy team, and I just look at him, I'm like, don't shoot the three. Like, you know you're not going to hit a three-pointer. Like, please don't do that. And then he walks up the court and banks in a three to win the game. Like, he missed that bad, yes, to bank in a three, but to not play any defense, to have a resistance against that shot is ridiculous on their end.
So what I'm hearing is who you root for really depends on if they're on your fantasy team. That's what I'm getting from you.
Definitely not. If I'm rooting for anybody on Minnesota, I am definitely rooting for Carl Anthony Towns and not for Andrew Wiggins. I just look at him and I'm like, you have so much potential and it's so wasted. And I don't know what to do with that.
Are you rooting for Jimmy Butler or no?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I love Jimmy Butler, but I think that it'll be a struggle for him because he's always going to be the number one option now, and I don't think he should be.
He wants to be.
Yeah, he wants to be, and Tibbs is giving it to him. But
and when he's not the number one option, he complains about it, and we hear from it. So
I agree, but Carl Anthony Towns is the best player on that team, in my opinion, and that's the way it's going to be. You just have to utilize his youthfulness and, like, just get him as much experience as he can against these bigs, and he can be so dominant. I mean, I'm 100% on that bandwagon. So I'm sold on that.
Just look at this team. This might sound crazy, but the Timberwolves kind of look like the Wizards to me, minus the fact that the Wizards have been together forever.
Right.
You know, those four main guys. But just seeing that they have three huge names, big scorers that they can rely on every other night, mm-hmm. and then they got a couple other people like Taj Gibson and Teague.
It's
just, you know, so we'll see. I mean,
they definitely do. They definitely do remind me a little bit of that. That youthfulness. They've got a few very explosive players. My thing after watching them tonight is that I just hope they don't stay super restrictive to a half-court offense. They got to really be flowing. And especially if they want to get Andrew Wiggins involved and maintain, like, a part of this team. Because right now they're just 100% playing, like, the old Bulls that Tibbs coached before. And it's just a half-court game, all defense, which is fine. And, I mean, it led to a win tonight against a very talented team in OKC. But I don't know how that's going to fare for them playing like San Antonio. I feel like San Antonio is just going to run around them because they don't have enough experience and they're trying to play half court when they need to be playing full court ball and outrunning an older team. So I feel like they're not as adaptable as some teams are currently, but they can get better.
That being said, though, they have such young guys besides Gibson. I think he's in his 30s.
Yeah.
They have such young guys, and they're doing it, too. They can just burn them out every night.
Yep.
I'm seeing 39 minutes from three guys, from Butler, Teague, and Wiggins. Towns had 36 minutes, Gibson 33 minutes.
Yeah.
They can do that almost every night. They have the young guys. Hopefully, they don't burn out for the next few years, but I guess worry about today.
Yeah, that's it. Worry about winning now. So, I mean,
they could win with that mentality. They just beat OKC 115, 113. That might work.
Definitely. So. They're one to look out for that number four spot in the West, I think, definitely. But we'll see as this season plays on, bearing no injuries. And speaking of injuries, right. The first Great. Major one of the year, Gordon Hayward, probably the grossest thing I've ever seen on camera.
Yeah, what was that kid's name? Like Kevin Ware from Louisville. I remember seeing that one live too. That one was just as bad.
Yeah. Think. That was terrible. I remember that. But I completely forgot about that too.
And then Sean Livingston too. I mean, that's not an HD All like right, yeah, yeah. Gordon Hayward's yeah, yeah. was, but Sean it's the same injury.
Was,
I think
was real, but, like Sean Livingston watching in real time because you saw like his whole knee collapse, and then but Gordon Hayward, you saw the aftermath. Like he's just sitting there. And his leg is straight sideways.
Yep. Oh, that was brutal to watch.
Yep. Definitely.
And honestly, like, you root for so many guys in the league. There's not a better guy to root for than Gordon Hayward. You just hate to see that happen to someone like him.
Definitely. He's such a good guy and, like, a nice guy, you know?
Absolutely. And that completely changes their team.
Yeah. So,
I mean, that I think that moved him from a potential consecutive number one seed to like a 6 or 7, if that.
6 or 7, like, really? It's
absolutely. That drops them so far down. I mean, just look at the Cavaliers, the Wizards, the Raptors. I mean, that at least puts them at 5, yeah. right?
Okay.
And you got to think that, you know, you
see, that's the thing. I don't think that they could be any worse than that. No, I don't. Like, I don't see anything coming from the Hawks, but I do see that the Wizards automatically take that second spot, Toronto third, and then I think that Kyrie may be able to lead them if they stay with a defensive mindset. I think they may be able to still maintain that four spot. That being said, I don't think that they will do anything, even in the Eastern Conference part of the playoffs. It's just going to be a nightmare for them. I think that So there was like a doctor who was an orthopedic surgeon in the NFL, and he said that Gordon could return at some point this season, but it's going to be hard, not impossible, but it will be a possibility if he returned late this season. So they may have him with the slightest chance in the playoffs. That's if he does everything he's supposed to do and they like fast track his rehab. So do you think that's a possibility, or do you think they need to find a replacement for him to have any sort of chance?
That would be the most shocking recovery ever. If you look at that guy and you saw what happened and you just see the recovery process for that, it's going to take at least 6 or 7 months to start even rehabbing. I can't even imagine anyone starting to come back before that, no less even thinking about the playoffs. You can't think about the playoffs for him right now. I think he's done for the season. Even if he does come back, I mean, and let's say he does get a 5 or 6 seed. You're still facing what the Wizards, you said, would be in that spot.
Right, yeah.
Could be the Bucks, I guess. I mean,
mm-hmm. Yeah, it's probably a first round matchup with the Bucks. Yeah.
I mean, that could be a tough matchup even with Hayward in the lineup. If he's not 100% healthy, no sense in risking it for, you know, just in case you have a chance next year with bringing those same guys back. I don't see a possibility of returning. Yeah, and I wouldn't even think about it right now. Just give him the time. And he seems to be doing better. We saw that video night two or opening night for the Celtics when they came out and said, I'm doing all right. Surgery went well. It was a clean break. That being said, let's just give him some time. I doubt he'll be back this year.
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't think he'll be back. I think that they have to really search for another piece. I don't know. I looked at their lineup a little bit, and they have their rookie that they picked up. I really don't even understand how to pronounce this guy's name. Semi Ojeleye.
Right.
Yeah, like, I have no idea. But, right. like, dude won AAC Player of the Year. So, I mean, he definitely has potential in the league. He'll be coming off the bench behind Jaylen Brown, who Jaylen Brown can definitely step up. I think that he'll have a lot to show talent-wise. And then this guy, Semi here, he shot last year 48% from the field in college, which is absolutely ridiculous. He was made over half of his shots from within the line and 42% from beyond the arc. Like, that's absolutely insane. But can that translate to the pros? I have absolutely no idea.
Right, yeah, it is a different game, especially beyond the arc. It's a little bit farther back, obviously. But that kind of percentage you expect from a center or a power forward, he's a small forward, right?
Yeah, yep, he's small forward.
Very impressive. I'm actually looking at Rozier. Mm-hmm. I know Smart's obviously a starter. He got hurt. And
yeah,
Rozier started off. But Marcus Smart has been horrific. I can't stand watching him play. Oh, he's terrible.
Yeah,
you gotta
that's something
see what
we definitely agree on.
We saw Rozier a little bit. I don't know if you watched the game three for the Celtics. He looked pretty impressive, and that actually led him to the first win of the season. You gotta see what that kid's made of. Marcus Smart is just jacking up shots left and right, not putting them in, shooting like 20% to start the season at behind the arc. It's just brutal, and he just keeps putting up shots. He just tries to shoot out of the cold streak.
Yeah,
it never happens.
Right. I feel like they think that he's the only replacement that they possibly have, and it's just so wrong. It's so far gone. He is such a garbage offensive player. Like, I'm not knocking his defense. Like, he can hang with a big guy. Well, let's not say big guys. He can hang with other shooting guards very well, keep them restricted. That's fine. But the thing is, a shooting guard is supposed to be a mostly offensive dominant player, right? And he has no skill whatsoever. And there's all the hype like, oh, he lost like 30 pounds in the offseason. He got way in shape. Like, no, that dude is trash offensively. There's no chance for them like successfully having a playoff run with him being any sort of offensive key part for them.
Right, and Rozier might not be a better option defensively. Right now, the Celtics are relying on their defense, giving up, 102 points a game? I just saw it earlier. I don't remember. But if he scores you, if Rozier, being on the floor, scores you an extra 10 points a game, they give up an extra 7, 8, 9, you're still winning more games than you are, you know, with him, with Marcus Smart being there for the defense. I think you got to win. This is an offense-first league. There's a reason why the Grizzlies haven't been putting together winning seasons with the team they've had, because defense isn't winning right now. It's offense.
True. I mean,
so throw Rozier in there.
The Grizzlies just beat the number one Golden State Warriors. So
it's
week
one, man. It's week one.
Yeah, that's true. You're right. All right, let's move on. Let's talk a little bit about something that's near and dear to your heart, I know. Let's talk about your man, Linsanity, and his injury.
Yeah.
He's gone. He's done. So
I'm glad you brought that up. I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, I figured we'll just brush on by that. But, I mean, I think it literally changes nothing about the outcome for them. They would have been barely making it into the playoffs if they were even that close.
I hate to say this, but without Jeremy Lin, the Nets are 2-0. So, I mean,
that's true.
You really don't know.
I don't think it changes anything. I think D'Angelo Russell will do just as a bad job as Jeremy Lin would have done for them.
I think looking at the Nets as an organization, though, you got to figure, though, there's no sense in losing games at all this year. You got to focus on winning games, because if you get a top 10 or lottery draft pick, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Yep.
So why not try to win games? So you put Jeremy Lin out there to lead the squad. And they've looked pretty solid even without him. And in all three games they've played, Alan Crabb has stepped up in a way that I wasn't expecting. And now it's time for D'Angelo Russell to look like the star that he was supposed to be coming out of college. But yeah, that said, I mean, I was actually kind of hoping they'd try to make a playoff push, maybe an 8 seed. If not, at least see him win 25 games, because what's the sense in losing, you know, 65 games if you're not going to get a draft pick? It's going to be a long season for the Nets again. The only thing I have to be happy about is hopefully it's a longer season for the Knicks. That's the only thing I can be really happy about with that.
Yeah, that won't be too bad. All right, so next on the list, seeing as the Rockets beat the defending champion Warriors this week, are we thinking that they are contenders, really, or are they? What do you think? I don't know. I can't trust it. Like, I still have no confidence in the balance between having two point guards on the floor who both need the ball at the same time. What are your thoughts?
The Rockets are the real deal, man. You heard it here first. I'm not saying that they're going to the finals. I think they're going to make a – you can't even say they're going to make a playoff run just because it's the Western Conference. Like, it could end up being the Warriors and Thunder. Could be the Spurs and Rockets in the Western. Like, you never know with the West. I guess you could say the Warriors are a lock. I don't even say that. So, but that being said, I think they're legit. They lost Decker and they lost Williams. Mm-hmm. Good role players. I love Patrick Beverley. Oh, I've always liked him.
Me too.
Definitely. I don't know about as a person, but as a player, he's just so solid.
Yeah, and that definitely broke my heart. But I mean, in return, when you get Chris Paul, do you think that's enough? Especially on the defensive end. Are they able to maintain that solid presence out there who's like just, I mean, Pat Bev was just somebody who got in your head and completely disrupted whoever he was guarding. Normally like the best shooting guard on the team or just take the ball instantly from their point. So what do you think there?
Well, you know what the Rockets have that other teams don't is Trevor Ariza. That's what they have. I think you got to think, though, if you take Patrick Beverley off that team and you say, James Harden, you got to lead this team to, let's just say, 45 wins. Do you think James Harden could do that?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But that's without Chris Paul.
Right.
You throw in Chris Paul, now you have two guys to pass to, and don't laugh, Trevor Ariza in the corner for three.
Yeah, I mean, you could
take that shot three or four times a night. That, you know, three or four times a night out of seven or eight shots, I'll take that every night.
Yeah, and then they have the sixth man coming off the bench, always coming in. I think that they can be the real deal. It hasn't been proved to me yet. Only because the only real team that they beat so far is the Warriors, and they won't play another real team until they play the Jazz until like November 5th. So that's another like week and a half, 2 weeks before they even get there.
Chris Paul won't even be in that game.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, he's out 4 to 6 weeks. So
yeah, but we all knew that he was going to get injured at some point in time. So right now, this is just going back to last year minus Pat Bev. So hopefully they'll win. I mean, they'll probably win more than half of their games based on who they have to play. I think their schedule is just ridiculously easy right now, which is very annoying to me. But I think that when they get back to all together, I don't know if they'll figure it out completely until like maybe late December, you know?
I mean, with Chris Paul being out, that's probably the soonest they could figure it out. Mm-hmm. If he's not back to early December, I mean, they call it mid-season form for a reason. It takes a while even for the best teams to get acclimated. So, yeah, it's going to take them until probably late December, even early January. So, do they have a game on Christmas Day? I doubt you'd know that off the top of your head.
I'm looking right now, actually, at the schedule. So let me figure that out. I'm only in October. Let's get all the way over.
That might be the marker for me. So watch that game. See how well they gel. I mean, if they play that day, it's going to be a big game. But if they play around there, just look around there. December 25th, Oklahoma City. At Oklahoma City.
So they have that game.
I'd say probably that'd be the first marker. And then, obviously, the season goes till March, April, right?
And obviously, they're guaranteed. Like you said, they really are guaranteed locked for the playoffs. So it's really too early to tell. I'm always skeptical of a team that loses good defense in exchange for, like, something they already had. Because, I mean, they already had an extremely great ball handler. So, I don't know. But, if Eric Gordon continues to put up the numbers that he put up last year and stays consistent off the bench, I mean, that's a deep team. And I think that they also need to maintain their playing Clint Capella, like, always at that center spot. Because I think there was a few times within the last two games where they're just playing, like, such small ball where, like, James Harden is at the four practically. And, I mean, that's just real. That's what they've been doing. But Clint Capella is such a great young talent that I feel is underutilized to the max. Like, and I think Chris Paul will be good for him because Clint Capella is a lot athletically like DeAndre Jordan. So it's like, he'll always get up there and get those lobs. He can shoot better than DeAndre. That's for sure. So I think there's a lot of upside if they utilize him properly as well.
Yeah, and just like it takes the players to get acclimated, it probably takes the coaches to get acclimated too, to see what's, you know, gels best together. It's easy for us to sit down and say, well, this works. So hopefully they'll be able to pick up on something that works, such as not playing small ball whenever they can and put in a guy like Capella as often as possible.
Yeah.
And with Chris Paul out, I mean, they have to try different stuff, right?
Definitely.
If they're in the season,
definitely.
Might as well.
This is your chance to experiment for sure.
And whatever they're doing now is working for now. So,
yeah.
I mean, and looking, they played him a lot against Sacramento. So that worked just fine. 17 rebounds. I don't see his other stats. I just see the rebounds.
Yeah.
Yeah, throw him in there.
Cool. Let's see what this season has to offer. So after week one, have there been any surprises to you at all?
It's funny because coming into today, I was going to say the fact that the Suns coach hasn't been fired. That's a surprise. But now that he is, the only real surprise, two games in, Kyrie Irving can't handle the "you left Cleveland" smack. I don't know if you saw that video.
No, I did not see that, actually.
But
enlighten me, please.
He reacted to some fan unfavorably. Well, according to the fan, I thought it was funny. You know, but fans are giving him, you know, all this garbage right now. Kyrie, where's LeBron? You know, how's Boston? You left Cleveland, all that stuff. He can't handle it already. He's already responding. That can't get in your head that early.
Yeah,
he's been all right. I'm sure on the court he's fine, but I mean, hopefully that's not getting to his head this early in the season.
Yeah, definitely. He's got to get some issues worked out with that. I mean, he's got to expect that. I mean, why would he think it would go any other way, especially if things are going south at the beginning of the season? Like, this is worst-case scenario that you needed to plan for. So why would it be any different? It makes no sense to me.
Right.
Yeah.
And other than that, I mean, I can't. Dad, what have you seen? Surprise! That's pretty much it for me. This week one, it's hard to find anything really.
Yeah, for me, I personally have found, like, I'm watching the Twin Towers, that of Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins, absolutely phenomenally playing together. Those two, like, are playing great basketball stat wise. That translates to absolutely nothing on court, and it is blowing my mind. Like, I saw I think it was the second game or the first game, Jrue Holiday had 4 points and 4 assists in 38 minutes. Like, what are you even doing? Like, Rondo's not even there yet, and you're putting up 4 points and 4 assists. I think the other night he had like 13 points, which is a little bit better, but they need some other form of scoring. And, you know, some defense along the way. I feel so bad for that team. Like, both of those superstars are just, like, getting royally destroyed by being a part of this organization. It's absolutely terrible. I have no idea what's going on. I hope the rumors are true one day that they end up in Seattle and things go so much better with new ownership and new management, because this is all trash.
I mean, they just signed Jameer Nelson, which I didn't even know that he was still playing basketball. And I've always liked Jameer Nelson. He's been a solid role player for every team he's been with. I loved him in Orlando.
He's not bad. And he did a good job for the Nuggets while they had him. I mean, the Nuggets, like, let him go, didn't re-sign him or anything. And they have an even worse, like, point guard situation. So, I mean, I'm very surprised that they didn't pick him back up. And I don't know what they're going to do with it. Like, they have Rondo coming in whenever he's healthy. And they have him. They have Jameer Nelson for now that they just signed, and then they have Jrue Holiday, who's not doing enough. So I'm just so confused with these role players that they're picking. They're like all washed up point guards that aren't doing enough. Especially Rondo. Like, what is Rondo gonna do for your team? DeMarcus Cousins is the true point guard of that team. I watched him play like the first quarter right before we're recording this, and he's bringing up the ball up the court. He went coast to coast, got a rebound. Like, Jrue Holiday is standing right next to him, like, refusing to pass him the ball, just brings it up court and scores himself. Like, that's what I'm seeing.
Well, I'll tell you right now, whatever you said, it's translating in this game right now. They're playing the Lakers. So, I mean, I would hope it would translate against the Lakers.
Definitely. I mean, it's not too much of a challenge when you have two real superstars versus several wannabes.
Yeah, you got Jameer Nelson and Drew Holiday right now with 3 assists, and you got Cousins with 7.
Hey. See, and, I told you he's playing point right now.
We're 2 minutes into the third. He's got 7 assists, and he's going to get a triple-double. He'll probably get 20-20-20 at the rate he's going, and Holiday will finish with 5 assists. It's brutal. That being said, I'm sure Davis and Cousins are having a blast.
I mean, but it's all going to come to a burning, like, crashing end where these guys realize that they're not going to win with the team structure that they have. That being said, I hope that they maintain this unity that they have, because they're absolutely destroying that low post.
Yeah.
Like, they combine for like 70 points every game. It's ridiculous.
And I think that's kind of up to Cousins too. I mean, if he loses it, then the whole locker room implodes.
He's got to keep
it together.
Yeah, definitely.
So,
but at the same time, my fantasy league is giving us 20 points for every ejection. So I, like, whoever put it together, thank you to whoever our manager of that league is, because that made my life right there. And whoever had Curry the other night, congratulations to you. That mouthpiece got you 20 points.
Curry and Durant.
Yeah.
So you probably drafted Boogie first round with that in that league, huh?
No, I didn't know that was the stats wise, so I did not do that. I did not know going in. I wish I had, man.
That would have been a great sleeper pick right there.
Definitely. All right, so before we go, before we wrap this up, we got to do some overreacting to this Golden State Warriors crap, since they are technically right now 1-2. What do you have to say about them? Like, they're gonna figure it out at some point, and they're still gonna be the number one seed in the West.
What else can you say? they're fine.
Yeah.
I mean, the only overreaction I could think of right now is bringing Luke Walton back. They were almost perfect with him at head coach. But they lost to the Rockets and to the Grizzlies. Yeah. They lost to the Grizzlies by 10, but.
Yeah. The Grizzlies were in it until the end, and then once Durant and Curry both got shut down, I mean, it was over after that. But that being said, Marc Gasol played like a beast that night. It was just ridiculous. And especially, I didn't actually watch the game live, but I watched several of the highlights, and Klay Thompson is guarding him for a good portion of this game. And he's just burning him. Like, Klay can't reach his hands, so he's just, like, cashing threes, turnaround jumpers, no problem. So, I mean, that was a very exceptional game from Marc Gasol, and it's probably not going to happen again. I think they'll have it figured out by then. I mean, 3 games into the season, we knew they weren't going 82-0. They're probably not going to even beat their record of 72-0, so or and 10, whatever it was. 73-9, there we go. But,
You got there.
Yeah. It's fine. They'll be fine. It's whatever.
Yeah. Klay Thompson against Gasol, that's a joke.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable. But you got to figure, though, if the Grizzlies score more than, like, 103 points against you, you probably lost. I mean, their defense is so good. They can limit a great scoring team to under 85 points. Defensively, they're so good. I mean, that being said, though, in regular season, the Grizzlies can have you all they want. In the postseason, you just got to outscore them. I mean, and not by much.
Yeah.
if you score 105 points, you win. If they score 105 points, they win. That's how it goes with the Grizzlies.
Yep.
So, no, but the Warriors will be fine. And the Rockets, they could have won that first game if that shot got off a half, not even a tenth of a second sooner. They win the game.
Right.
So... yeah, Warriors are fine. Don't even worry about it. I mean, Steve Kerr doesn't seem to be worrying. He's joking in the locker room about or in the press conference about Curry throwing the mouthpiece. He thinks it's hilarious. They're having a good time. They don't care.
Yeah.
Whatever.
That's it. I think they'll be fine. It's no big deal.
When they start worrying, I'll start worrying.
Yeah, I think that. Let's talk quick about also the Cavs losing to the Orlando Magic. Like, that was not a good game. And they're still trying to figure out their whole structure, too. But, I mean, losing by 21 to an absolutely garbage team without both Peyton and Aaron Gordon. I mean, they have some serious struggle trying to get Dwayne Wade involved with this. And then, I don't know. What do you have to say on it?
Never underestimate Stan Van Gundy. Never underestimate any Van Gundy.
I mean, that's great, but isn't he he's still the coach of the Pistons, not the Magic anymore.
Oh my goodness. You said yes. My apologies. You said the Magic. I thought you said the Pistons. That makes more sense because now that I was looking at the headlines the other day, the Magic they hit 17 threes that game.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. It was a very, very good outing from them and a very poor showing from the Cavs.
I still stand by my statement, never underestimated Van Gundy. But, yeah, wrong team. My apologies. I wish I could say that was the problem, the 17 threes. Mm-hmm. The problem was their offense. Kevin Love, 0 for 5 from 3. He couldn't hit one. I mean, Shumpert was probably the best player that night. That's the problem.
Yeah, yeah, that's it.
Crowder couldn't stop anyone. They brought him in for a reason. He couldn't stop a single person. And who are they missing too? They're missing a few guys though.
Cleveland, or
yeah, Lakers. Yeah. They're missing Thomas.
Yeah,
they're missing
Isaiah Thomas, obviously.
What's their other name that they signed?
My thing looking at this
Rose,
is...
Yeah, Rose got hurt, too.
Yeah, my thing looking at this is that J.R. Smith is supposed to be their sixth man off the bench, right? This dude played 20 minutes and got 2 points. 2 points?
Yeah.
He only took 6 shots. Like, what is he even doing? I have no idea what's going on with that.
And his plus-minus was negative 33. Yeah,
I know it. Kyle Korver out there, negative 22. But, I mean... LeBron was minus 31, but he's going to be there the whole time. No matter what, he'll be there through the thick and the thin. But, I mean, you obviously can't blame him. He shot, like, over 50% from the field, and he had, what, the most assists, nearly? I think their max assist was 4. That is the worst stat of all. Like, they have no team chemistry at all. Dwayne Wade had the most assists with 4. And he was actually one of the better people for their team, where he had his plus minus was minus 4. And he's the reason that they're losing. I have no idea what's going on with that team. And I think that they have a lot to work on. And by the time Isaiah Thomas comes back, I worry that they will have just figured out that chemistry. And then everything will be all shuffled all over again. And they'll have no idea what to do.
Yeah, I think just playing from behind kind of threw off the Cavaliers. If you look at it, I this might not tell much to you. I feel like it's telling that when you look at that plus minus, you can see where when the threes were taken, mm-hmm. and when the power forwards are on the floor, they all have pluses next to their name. When you got the small guys on the floor, they got the minuses. So Orlando looked at that team and they said, when these guys are on the floor, you take your threes, and then they hit them. That's all they had to do was just hit a few threes, and that's what won them the game. They saw that Smith wasn't going to cover outside. Wade can't cover the outside. He's so slow. If you just cross him up and you got an easy three, they got Korver minus 22. Took to take threes off him. I guess Jeff Green too. He's okay defensively, right?
Yeah. Yep. He's not bad. I mean, yeah. He got team cancer, but I mean, he did fine.
Right. Yeah, he got bodied the other night defensively.
Oh,
so
yeah.
That's it though. It's one game. You get those.
Definitely.
I mean, right when the Warriors lost their 30 whatever and 0 to start the season a few years ago, it was against a team that the Bucks, which weren't good at the time, and we're like, there's no way the Bucks could take them out, and sure enough, you never know. Any night.
Yeah, even late last season, the Nuggets, the Nuggets without, 4 of their players made, a ridiculous amount of threes to beat them as well. So, I mean, it is, like we said, this is just totally unnecessary overreaction. We'll just call that, this segment. Just, it's the hype section where we just kind of speculate a little bit. But
why don't we just call it ESPN.com? Let's just call it that.
That's what it is. All right. On that note, we're wrapping this thing up. Thank you for joining me today, man.
Absolutely, man. My pleasure.
Awesome. All right, for anybody who wants to give us any sort of a question or anything like that, hit us up at TheBankJob1991 on Twitter, and we will make sure that we answer whatever questions that you have or concerns. Rate us on iTunes. We try and keep this thing PG always, so it's family-friendly, and we will talk to you guys in the next one. For me and for Chris, we will see you later.